So we're going to dive into our message today. I just want to say again, Nancy did an awesome job last week. Just a fantastic. You could tell that she had put a lot of work into that and that the Spirit was really moving in that. And we've had people, you know, that made some decisions for Christ last week because of that. And so I just want to thank the Lord for what the Lord did through her last week. So we've been sharing the last few Sundays how we as God's children can bring pleasure to the Lord. Oftentimes we, if you're like me, I have a tendency to be selfish. And oftentimes, if you're like me, then it's things that when I go before the Lord, it's because it's things I want Him to do for me. So my prayers oftentimes are, Lord, I need your guidance. I need your leadership. I need help. Jesus even said, pray that the Lord would not lead you into temptation. He also said, pray for this day our daily bread. So it's okay to ask Him for things. Matter of fact, He wants us to. He's kind of waiting for that. But we as children of God often should try to please the Lord with our actions, please Him with our attitude, please Him with the things that we speak. Just do those things that bring tremendous pleasure to the Lord. Did you know, and I shared this a few weeks ago, that when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that it brings tremendous pleasure to the Father? Scripture says that even the angels know there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels when we come to know Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Luke 12:32 says, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure, say good pleasure, to give you the kingdom. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about, kind of introduced to you that God's love language is giving. We take a lot of things for granted in this world. And every good gift, Scripture says, every good gift and every wonderful gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from our Father who is in heaven. So, as a child of God, I want us to consider some things that would bring pleasure to our Father. I was reading about a Boston Celtic player a few weeks ago. How many of you are basketball fans? A few of you. So the Boston Celtics were playing the Atlanta Hawks. And anyway, this fellow by the name of Big Al, that's what they call him. His name is actually Al Horford, whose purpose in life is to please God. He faces the team that drafted him in first round of playoffs playing for the Boston Celtics. He actually came from Atlanta Hawks and is playing against them in the first round. This was a few weeks ago. But the heading of this article caught my attention. I don't watch much professional basketball. I've got other things I enjoy doing, but basketball is not one of them. Football, yes. Basketball, not so much. So he's a Dominican basketball player, and he's the highest paid NBA All-Star that's from Latin America, or basketball player. And this is what he says. My whole purpose in life is to please God, to ensure I'm doing His will and that I'm living my life in that example. Based on that, that's how I got about my life, and then the rest of everything will fall in place, or that's how I go about my life. During an interview with Sports Spectrum at the beginning of this season, Horford said that while he did not have a relationship with God when he began his NBA career, over the years, his faith has become central in his life. This is what I live by. You know, my faith. My faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done in my life is what I live for. It's been a beautiful journey for me. God has spoken to my heart, And great things have come out of that. You know, blessings in my spiritual life, but also blessings with my family and my career in many different ways. Describing his journey of spiritual growth through the years, Horford said that it has been a process. Even talking about it publicly or addressing it in an interview and things like that, I've always been very reserved and more private, Horford said. But I was at the point that I was like, you know what? I need to let people know that a lot of these things and all the success that I'm having is because of my faith and because of God's word in me. Isn't that a marvelous testimony? As he says, all I want to do with my life, not play basketball, not be prosperous, but all I want to do is please the Lord with my life. Isn't that great? That's a powerful testimony. But here's a neat thing. It's kind of a sidebar. When we live our lives to please the Lord, blessings come. It's just a natural outflow of that. Just blessings come in a lot of different ways. God just continues to pour out in numerous ways. He provides for you. He meets your needs, and not only financially, not only physically, but spiritually in a lot of different other ways. He gives you friendships. He gives you relationships. He just pours out on you. David, you remember King David? He had a desire. His desire, one desire was to build a temple for the Lord. And I think it surprised God. Maybe not. But he said, God said, I've never had anybody want to please me in that way. It has never entered my mind that someone should build a temple for me. David just wanted to please the Lord. He just wanted to do something that would bring glory to the Lord. He wanted to do something that God would say about him, man, that's awesome that you've wanted to please me that way. See, David wanted to build a temple so that all of Israel could come and worship in Jerusalem. All of Jerusalem, all of Israel, the whole nation could come and worship in Jerusalem. And I don't know if you're a Trump fan, it matters to me either way. But one of the things that Christians were applauding him for was whenever he made the embassy in Jerusalem. And he brought it back because we saw that as a biblical prophecy that was going to take place. Because scripture says that when Jesus comes back, that Jesus is going to set up his throne. He's going to set up his capital in Jerusalem. It's kind of like a precursor to what's going to come in the future. Okay? So, when David said, I'm going to build a temple, I want to build a worship center for God, so that all Israel could come and worship in Jerusalem, that pleased God in a mighty, mighty way. A couple of weeks ago, I introduced the idea that God's love language is giving. And because of that, because God's love language is giving, matter of fact, we're going to look at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he did what? Gave. And I know we went over this, but it's not bad to go over it again, okay? For God so loved the world that he gave. He's a giving God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. God wants to give everlasting life to everyone. That is his heart, because he is a giving God. Because he's a giving God, it's also he delights him when we give. Look, if you would, in Hebrews 13:16. It says, do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. Let me read that again. Do not forget to do good and to share. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. There's a Greek word, and that's it. And Southern, I would say it this way. You are esteo. I don't know how it's pronounced, but you are esteo. Okay. Sounds good to you? Good. I don't speak Greek. I don't speak English that well. But what this Greek word means is that it gratifies entirely. Entire gratification. And so when it says here, do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is gratified entirely. Gratified entirely. Isn't that amazing that we can gratify God entirely? And it's like, have you ever seen somebody with a big grin on their face because of the gratification? I kind of picture that in my mind. When we give to others, when we do for others, then God is gratified entirely. Throughout his whole being, he's gratified. It gives God genuine pleasure. He couldn't be more pleased than when we offer sacrifices. And maybe we make a sacrifice of ourselves. Maybe we make a sacrifice of our time. You know, you may say, you know what, I don't have a lot of finances to give. I don't have a lot of resources to give. Did you know that you could give time? Did you know that you could help someone who maybe can't help themselves? Did you know that you could go visit someone who's homebound? And that gratifies God entirely. That brings tremendous gratification to his life. I get paid to go visit people. Okay? I like to visit anyway. And I like to go and meet with people. And sometimes I break away from my studies and just go visit. And I like to do it, but I get paid for it. But if you were to do it, and you may not get paid for it, but God would say, man, that I love that. I'm so grateful that you did that for these individuals. There's a passage of scripture in Proverbs 22:9. That says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Now, that's an interesting passage of scripture to me, the one with a generous eye. You would think, that, you know, if you didn't know maybe the old King James Version, you'd think, well, maybe you'd kind of give your eye to someone else. And that's not what it's talking about. It reminds me of a joke. But I don't tell bar jokes, okay? But let's just say, so this fellow goes into a barn, okay? And he goes into the barn and he sees this barn tender. You used to work there. And he says to this barn tender, I bet you $5, I can bite my eye. And the bartender says, no, there's no way you can bite your eye. So I'll bet you $5. And so the guy says, okay. They both lay $5 down on the cattle stall. And the fella takes out a glass eye and he bites it. And the guy said, man. So he gives him the $5. And so the fellow says to the bartender, I bet you I can bite my other eye. He says, no way. There's no way he has two glass eyes. And so he lays down $5. They both lay them down. And the guy takes out his false teeth and bites his other eye. He loses the $5. So that's not what it's talking about. A generous eye is not talking about giving your eye to someone else. What it means is that the person is always looking for someone to bless. He's always looking for someone to bless. I don't know if you remember Virgil Keller or not. Some of you may. He passed away a couple of years ago. He and his wife both, Roberta, they passed away within 2 days of each other. Really, he was a pastor up in Garibaldi. And one day I went to visit Virgil. And as I was leaving, he said, "Here, I want to give you something." And he reached in his wallet and gave me a dollar. He said, I never try to pass up a day that I don't give something to somebody. And I'm like, man, I want to emulate that. He had a generous eye. He was always looking for someone to bless. Now, when I went to visit him, he was not in the best of health. He was not able to get out of his house. So I'm assuming that when people came visit him, he would bless them because he was not able to get out at the time. This congregation has a generous eye. This congregation always are looking for a way to bless others. And I've been a recipient of many of those gifts. And I never feel like I can say thank you enough, because there's always, you guys are always pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out. And I say to you, congregation, thank you. Not only do you give to me, but you give to others in this congregation, always looking for a way to bless others, always looking for a way. It boggles my mind sometimes to see and recognize how generous this church is. We had a business meeting the other day and somebody said, "Well, man, we've got a lot of money. We need to give some of it away. Or we need to do something." Isn't that amazing? Because God blesses those who have a generous eye and looking for others to bless. I mean, that's his principles. Scripture talks about people who are selfish and keep to themselves, that oftentimes they never have enough. But those who have a generous eye and begin to bless others, then God pours out upon them. And we could go from scripture to scripture to scripture to just to verify that, but we're not going to go there today. I just want to encourage you, begin having a generous eye, looking for people you can bless. And even if, let's just say that you see a homeless guy, and I'm preaching to myself, because sometimes I'm saying, well, if I give to them, I don't know what they're going to do with the money. They might go get drunk. They may go get drugs. I don't know what they're going to do with it. But did you know that that's between them and God? That's between them and God. But if we give in the name of the Lord, you know what? I see you're in need. I want to give you this dollar in the name of Jesus Christ. It can make a tremendous impact in their life, just a dollar, in the name of Jesus Christ. And I would say, kind of add that onto your gift, in the name of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, let's look at Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 40. "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand, the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in a prison and visit you?' And the king will say, 'I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.'" So here's what we find in this scripture. When you make a visit to the jail, when you pay into their commissary account, when you visit someone that's homebound, when you give clothes to someone in need, when you give a drink of water, when you give your clothes, whatever you give, Jesus is a recipient of those gifts. Jesus is a recipient of those gifts. And your gifts, your giving, pleases Him immensely. Have you ever wondered why, when you give, there's so much joy in your heart? Why is that? If I give, it makes them joyful, but it also makes me joyful. Well, Jesus lives in your heart. And when you give, He gets joyful. When you give, the Holy Spirit gets joyful. Did you know the Holy Spirit has emotions? Did you know that? Did you know you can grieve Him? Did you know you could cause Him joy? And when you cause Him joy and He lives inside you, then you're joyful. Did you know that the Holy Spirit has peace and love and joy and all of the fruits of the Spirit? Those are emotions, right? Patience. We need some of that. All of those are emotions. That's Holy Spirit emotions. And when we're walking in the Spirit, we experience those emotions in us. Oh, and by the way, Holy Spirit is a He. He's not a non-gender. Okay? He's a He. Jesus refers to Him as a He. So when we refer to Him, He's not an it. We need to refer to Him as a He. Holy Spirit is a He. Now you must understand that giving, contributing, sacrificing will not get you into heaven. Only Jesus' shed blood can purchase your salvation. It's not your sacrifices. It's His sacrifice that purchased your salvation. It's not your works. It's His work that accomplished that. Look at Proverbs 15:8 with me. It says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." So there were people in the Old Testament, there are people today who think that if I just give enough, if I do enough, that's going to make me right with God. But this passage of Scripture says, "The sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord." Did you know you could give all your wealth and you can give everything you have to the poor and those kind of things, but if you have wickedness in your heart, it's an abomination to God. It don't make Him happy. It's not pleasing to Him because your heart's not right. You know what? When we come before Him in righteousness and we give, it makes Him happy. But if we're just doing it to appease Him, if we just give to someone to appease God, He's not pleased at all. That's what was taking place in the Old Testament. What was going on was, so God had established a covenant whereby people would come and they would offer sacrifices to God to atone for their sins, right? And so once they atoned for their sins, they would go right back out and do the same things that they said they repented of. They confessed, "Oh God, I did all this horrible stuff. Please forgive me." When I was in, I went to New Orleans Seminary. And during Mardi Gras, they had to close the seminary because you couldn't even travel. And so New Orleans Baptist, First Baptist Church New Orleans hired me and my brother to park cars for them during Mardi Gras. And so we were there at First Baptist Church on St. Charles Street during Mardi Gras. It is a big to-do, buddy. So First Baptist Church charged $20 a car to park in their parking lot. It's a funny thing. I'm getting off track, but this is funny. They had porta toilets to raise money for their mission, youth mission trips every year, and they charged $1 a person to use a porta pot. They made a bunch of money. But Mardi Gras was kind of it was really a horrible thing. It was worship of false gods is what it was and what it is. So what would happen is on Ash Wednesday, so they would do the Mardi Gras on Tuesday, and do all their partying and do everything and all that. And then on Ash Wednesday, everybody would go to the church and get the little ashes of cross on their forehead because they're repentant of their sins. Exactly. See, that's not true repentance. That's wickedness in the heart. And that's kind of what God is saying. You know, if you don't, if you're not intending to live right, and you just want to keep on living like the devil and living your own way and not wanting to live in a way that blesses me and pleases me, then I don't care what you give. I don't care what sacrifices you make. It's not pleasing to me. So that's what he's saying. The sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. But listen to this. But the prayer of the upright is his delight. Did you know that when you stop and chat with the Lord, it brings him delight? You know, my wife and I were invited over to our son's house last night. They have an exchange student from somewhere. Portugal. And so they invited us because he's graduating this year, and they had a graduation party for him. Okay. So we went over there, and we had this. You know, I love to visit with my kids. We got home, and my daughter called us, visited with her on the phone. I just love to visit with her. I love to visit with my kids. I love it when my grandkids call, and we get to chat. And it don't matter what we're chatting about. I don't really care, just as long as we're chatting, as long as we're connecting, as long as we're able to communicate with one another. And you know what? I think God's the same way. He don't really care what we're chatting about. Let's chat. Lord, you know, this day was a great day. You know, he knows all about your day anyway, you know, right? But it's still, he likes it when his children talk to him. He likes it when his children just have a time for him. And it blesses him. It gives him great delight when we just come before him and we just pray to him and we chat with him and tell him our problems and tell him our successes, tell him our victories. And he just loves that. Just like you love it when your children connect with you. Just like you love it when your grandchildren connect to you. He likes his children to talk to him. And it don't have to be anything heavy, right? It don't have to be anything heavy. It's okay if it is heavy. He wants you to bring those heavy things to him. But he just delights in the prayers of his saints. It gives him great delight. The prayers of the righteous are a delight to the Lord. But did you know that you can't create your own righteousness? You know, a lot of people, and we've spoken of this, about people trying to create their own righteousness, do the right things, do the right, and be good. Did you know that Jesus is the only one who can make you righteous? It's his blood spilled, shed for you that causes you to be righteous. We cannot be righteous on our own. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that does that. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly, say boldly, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you have any needs? Did you know that you could go before the throne of grace? That's a huge word, the throne of grace. It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of condemnation, but it's the throne of grace. Praise the Lord. I love that. It's the throne of mercy. Man. Did you know what the covering for the Ark of the Covenant was called? The lid? You remember in the Old Testament, there was a box built, a golden box built, and they put the Ten Commandments in the box, and people who looked in it suffered. Okay, badly. That box went over to the Philistines one time, and they kept sending it to a different city because wherever it went, the Philistines came under judgment because they were not a righteous people. Do you know what the lid on that box was called? The mercy seat. It's incredible. So wherever God goes, there's mercy. Wherever God goes, there's mercy. Now, one day there's going to be judgment. One day there's going to be judgment. But he said we can come boldly before the throne of grace and before the throne of mercy and lay our petitions before him because he is a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. So here's the deal. If you have a need, God says, talk to me about it because I'm going to listen to you. If you need forgiveness, talk to me about it. Don't hide it. Just be open, be truthful, be transparent, be vulnerable. Tell me your stuff, and I will give grace and mercy to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you may find mercy in your time of need. Do you have need this morning? Do you have a need to be forgiven? Do you have a need to be righteous before the Lord, then come boldly before him and receive it. Only Jesus can make us righteous. Only confession of sin and repentance can cleanse us. 1 John 1:9, you need to remember this passage. 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, guess what you are? You're righteous. Hallelujah. And see, that's the key to this whole thing. Confessing, repentance, Jesus. That's the whole deal. And it's not by your works, lest any man should boast. It's confession and repentance. Do you want forgiveness for your sins? Come boldly before the throne of grace. Do you want to be washed clean? Come boldly before the throne of grace, and his mercy will take care of your sin problem. Do you have other needs in your life? Come boldly before the throne of grace, and his mercy will meet those needs. But the first thing we need to do is become righteous. A lot of people think, well, I've just got to do this and got to do this and I got to do this and I got to do this. Here's what I would say. Here's what you got to do. Stay fessed up. Stay fessed up. When we sin, we all sin. When you sin, when I sin, just confess it. Repent. Lord, forgive me. I am so sorry I did that. I said I wasn't going to do that, but I did it again. Lord, forgive me. And you know what? Because of his grace and because of his mercy, he says, okay, Brad, I forgive you. Praise the Lord. I'm righteous again. I'm righteous again. I'm righteous again. Thank you, Jesus. So, do you want to delight the Lord? I'm going to encourage you and encourage myself. Do like this Horton NBA star did. Live your life to please the Lord. Live your life to please the Lord. Live your life to bring pleasure to him. A second thing I'd encourage you to do, become a generous giver. See with your eyes. Look for people that you can bless. The third thing I want to encourage you to do is talk to him. Come boldly before his presence because he is so pleased to hear his children talk with him. The last thing I would say, if you're here today without Christ, receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Let him take your sins away. Don't be like one of those individuals that goes to Mardi Gras. We don't want a temporary fix. We want a permanent transference of Jesus into our life and transformation of our lives to him. Father, I come before you today and I just want to thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the message that you speak to us. And God, help us. I'm so grateful for this church and the generosity, and the generous spirit that they have, the generous heart, the generous eye. God, I pray that you'd even make us more so. That, Lord, you would be exalted. You would be lifted up. Lord, that you would be pleased with our sacrifices. And these things we pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Every head bowed still and every eye closed. I'm going to just ask you, if the Lord spoke to you about something this morning, would you just raise your hand? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Would you, if the Lord spoke to you about something, would you just follow up and do what he has impressed upon your heart to do? He spoke to me. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Maybe some of you here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Would you come before his throne of grace and receive the mercy you need to have your sins washed away, righteousness come into you, and you be right with God? Or maybe you have other needs that you need to bring before the throne of grace, so that he can impart to you and pour out upon you the things that you need.